Well, we're reading together the Bible, and we are at Numbers chapter 10. Okay, so Numbers chapter 10 in your Bible. And for those who want to and stand up while we read the scripture, you're welcome to do so for as long as you can. It's not a contest. Letting you stretch your legs a little bit. Numbers chapter 10. The Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, "Make yourself two trumpets of silver, of hammered work you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for having the camp set out. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Yet if only one is blown, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall assemble before you. But when you blow an alarm, the camps that are pitched on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are pitched on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown for them to set out. When convening the assembly, however, you shall blow without sounding an alarm. The priestly sons of Aaron, moreover, shall blow the trumpets, and this shall be for you a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feasts and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God." Now it came about in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, that the cloud was lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the sons of Israel set out on their journeys from the wilderness of Sinai. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran, so they moved out for the first time according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. And the standard of the camp of the sons of Judah according to their army set out first with Nashon the son of Amminadab over its army, and Nethanel the son of Zuar over the tribal army of the sons of Issachar, and Eliab the son of Helon over the tribal army of the sons of Zebulun. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari who were carrying the tabernacle set out. Next, the standard of the camp of Reuben according to their army set out with Elazar the son of Shedwar over its army, and Shemuel the son of Zurishaddai over the tribal army of the sons of Simeon, and Eliseph the son of Deuel was over the tribal army of the sons of Gad. Then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy objects, and the tabernacle was set up before their arrival. Next, the standard of the camp of the sons of Ephraim, according to their armies, was set out, with Elishama the son of Amminahud over its army, and Gamaliel the son of Pedazur over the tribal army of the sons of Manasseh, and Abidan the son of Gideoni over the tribal army of the sons of Benjamin. Then the standard of the camp of the sons of Dan, according to their armies, which formed the rear guard for all the camps set out, with Ahiezer the son of Amishaddai over its army, and Pagiel the son of Ochran over the tribal army of the sons of Asher, and Ahira son of Enan over the tribal army of the sons of Naphtali. This was the order of march of the sons of Israel by their armies as they set out. Then Moses said to Hobab the son of Reuel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out to the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will do you good, for the Lord has promised good concerning Israel." But he said to him, "I will not come, but rather will go to my own land and relatives." Then he said, "Please do not leave us, inasmuch as you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will be as eyes for us. So it will be, if you go with us, it will come about that whatever good the Lord does for us, we will do for you." Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them for the 3 days to seek out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Then it came about when the ark set out that Moses said, Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let those who hate thee flee before thee. And when it came to rest, he said, Return thou, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel. Thus reads the word of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Numbers chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Then it came about when the ark set out that Moses said, Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let those who hate thee flee before thee. And when it came to rest, he said, Return thou, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel. In this morning's reading, we're given the scene wherein the children of Israel are fully prepared to march forth and to conquer the promised land. All the preparation had been done over the previous 11 months. The tent of meeting with all its utensils and furniture had been completed. The priestly order had been sanctified, and the Levites had been cleansed and consecrated. The Ark of the Lord had been constructed. The tribal order of the encampment and march had been instituted, and the people themselves had been prepared. All the necessary sacrifices had been done, the Passover observed, and the feasts and festivals accomplished. The ragtag escapees from slavery in Egypt had been coalesced into a nation ready for their inheritance. All was set for the people to go forward, and that is what the Lord then did. He led them with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. When he knew the people were prepared, he guided them in a path that protected them from the fortified cities of the Egyptians to the north, to the soft underbelly of those nations inhabiting the promised land. They became the nation whose God was the Lord. In this context, then, we have the words of Moses at each instance as the ark representing the divine presence of God set forth every time of movement, as well as the words proclaimed every time the Ark of the Covenant was settled down. These were not words from Moses that just became ritually spoken expressions, as were so many mantras throughout the nations of the pagan deities. This was the heartfelt assurance and knowledge that God was going before His people each day and was protecting them each night. It reminded the nation as a whole exactly who was going before them in that pillar of cloud and fire. It also proclaimed to all the surrounding realms that they were coming against the one true living Lord God Almighty, who had brought forth this people from the most powerful nation of that day, Egypt. This new nation, under the banner of the Lord, would wreak havoc and desolation upon any who tried to stop His mighty hand of deliverance in operation. There was assurance, and there was the deliberate statement of fact in the words that Moses proclaimed. This was not a wishful pronouncement at the beginning and the ending of each day's march. It was a certain and confident declaration of who God was and how He was going before His people under the fullness of His promises. These decreed pronouncements were expressing the very heart of why this nation was even in existence. It was the testimony of the one true living Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, going forth through His nation's march. They would only go as He directed, and they would go where He directed, through His omnipotence and His omniscience with His omnipresence. The psalmist in Psalm 68, 1 through 3, picked up this theme of the sovereignty of the Lord keeping His people in the midst of their opponents and adversaries. Psalm 68, 1 through 3. Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered, and let those who hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad, let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Here again is that confident assurance in the reality that God will go before His people. He will deal with the wicked and cause them to be utterly defeated and scattered in the smoke and mirrors of their own deceptions. Accordingly, the people of God need to be glad in Him and to count on Him and to trust Him and to rejoice in the gladness of the fact that God rules and overrules in all the affairs of mankind. Nothing is beyond the scope of His glorious work in the fulfillment of His plan and purpose. No one can thwart Him, and no one can remove His people from Him. This is cause for utmost joy and for thanksgiving in the truth that God cares for His people. The psalmist also used the phraseology of the Lord arising to the defense of His people, scattering abroad those who would stand against the progression of the Lord. In that reality, the people of the Lord are to go forth with the confident knowledge that He goes before us. Accordingly, we are to be characterized by rejoicing and gladness in Him. That joy is not set in our enemy's demise, as is so often the gloating attitude of this realm. No, it is fully and concretely founded on the truth that God is the Lord God Almighty, and that He has chosen such as ourselves, and He has His mighty hand upon us for His name's sake. We rejoice and are glad because we belong to Him, and He loves us so much that He will not let anything or anyone snatch us from His protective hand. Our physical lives may be forfeit in this realm, but our eternal security rests with the Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth, and the One who gives us life in Jesus Christ. For that, we are to rejoice and to exult in Him. Again, hear the psalmist in Psalms 20, verses 5 through 8, as he revels in the full measure of the certainty that we need no other defense but the Lord, no other hope but the Lord. He is our victory in every situation, big or small. Psalms 20, 5 through 8. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. As the people of God, we should be honoring and reverencing Him to an increasing measure in our hearts and in our homes and in our corporate fellowship. He is the altogether mighty one in whom we place our every trust. Nothing is outside the realm of His protective hand. We often forget that He is the victorious one, and we often tend to set aside His triumphant being as we are muddling around in the everyday dealings of this realm. It is so easy to just lose the knowledge that everything that comes our way first comes through Him. He allows trials and circumstances and dilemmas to arise around and within us in order to build up our earnest faith and trust in Him. This is a lesson that needs repetition because we are so careless and so thoughtless at times as to in whom we place our trust as He goes before us. Please listen to Psalms 24, 7 through 10, and let the regal sovereignty of God be instilled deep into the inner core of our minds and our hearts. He is the King of glory, and as His people, we should be honoring Him in that capacity at all times. Psalms 24, 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. There is no way to truly honor and worship God if we do not know and trust Him as the King of glory, strong, mighty, and triumphant. He is the Lord of hosts. It is because of His supreme sovereignty over all of creation that we can honestly and vibrantly and rejoicingly join our hearts together in the earnest praise and adoration for who He is and for all that He has done. Again, share together in the psalmist's declaration as recorded in Psalms 90, verses 11 through 17, as the Lord works in the lives of His people to cause us to understand and to appreciate through all the trials and tribulations of life that God still reigns supremely and eternally. For that fact, we should give Him all praise and glory. Psalms 90, 11 through 17. Who understands the power of Thine anger and Thy fury according to the fear that is due Thee? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to Thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for Thy servants. O satisfy us in the morning with Thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days Thou hast afflicted us, and the years that we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear to Thy servants, and Thy majesty to their children. and let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and do confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Again, the psalmist uses the call to God to arise in Psalms 132, verses 8 and 9. This time, however, it is to arise to his resting place, showing the fact that the Lord has accomplished his glorious work for his people. We are to rejoice in the certainty of that truth and proclaim our joy in songs of worship and adoration unto God. Psalms 32, 8 and 9. Arise, O Lord, to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness, and let thy godly ones sing for joy. The prophet Isaiah joins in the encouragement unto the people of God to know that God does go before us, as recounted in Isaiah 31, 1 and 2. Isaiah 31, 1 and 2. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster and does not retract his words, but will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of the workers of iniquity. There were often times, as recorded throughout the Old Testament, when panic would strike the kings of Israel and they would send for help to other nations as they saw huge armies being arrayed against them. They would put their trust in horses and in the chariots, particularly of Egypt, once the most powerful nation of the known world. But the prophet is reminding us that our trust must always be in the Lord God Almighty. As powerful as our enemies may seem, as hopeful may appear our deliverance through the means of men and horses and human reckoning, the truth is that it is God who rules and overrules. There is no power of man or beast that can stand against the omnipotence of God. There is no plan or intrigue of the human mind which can overthrow or thwart the omniscient plan and purpose of God. When he arises against those who would seek to destroy his people, that army or nation, no matter how large, no matter how advanced in technology, no matter how rich in resources, will never frustrate or prevent God's divinely appointed operation from coming into full fruition. As much as man may try to stop the hand of God, it will always and ultimately be evidence that God was directing it all. It harkens us back to Genesis 50:20, where Joseph sought to allay his brothers' fear that he would kill them for their treachery because they had sold him into slavery. The truth was that God used that treachery to bring forth a mighty nation of his own chosen people. Genesis 50:20. And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. we can fully count on God to do whatever is necessary for mankind to come into line with His will. Nation may rise against nation, but only under the direction of the accomplishment of God's divine order. This was so evident throughout the Old Testament as God moved nations like chess pieces in order to establish the exact time and place for the birth of our Savior, His only begotten Son. Nothing was happenstance. It was all under the eternal plan of God to bring forth the complete salvation of those who would respond to His call in Jesus Christ. We conclude with the reinforcement of the hand of God arising for the purpose of expressing His heart of everlasting redemption in Isaiah 51, verses 9 through 11. If you would care to read along with me, Isaiah chapter 51, verses 9 through 11. Isaiah 51. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not thou who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not thou who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a pathway for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be on their heads. And they will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the heart of God expressed in His own people. So the ransomed of the Lord will return, and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Many well-meaning Christians see this as the way we will be in heaven in the great by and by. However, this whole passage of our consideration was that the people of God would set forth every morning with the assurance and the knowledge and the honor and the praise unto God for the fact that He was going before them to make the way of their path in the wilderness. Then each evening, He would manifest His presence within their camp as their provider, their comforter, their safety, and their Lord. They were to rejoice and be glad in Him each day, as are we today, tomorrow, and yes, forever. So be it. Then it came about, when the ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let those who hate thee flee before thee." And when it came to rest, he said, "Return thou, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel." Amen.